Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in public health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
All right, here we are, folks, trying to decide when we're going to start the program because we're just having so much fun talking in the studio, and well, hopefully we can bring you into the conversation. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union, here with my colleagues, Ira Fussfeld, the longtime publisher of the Daily Freeman in Kingston, New York.
Very nice to be back.
Wonderful to see you, sir. And Dr. Alan Shartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio.
Well, thank you, Rex.
That's the professor, the publisher, and the editor here. And since we've had positions in the past and positions now, here we are just commentators and analysts of media issues of the week, of which there have been many, lots of issues.
Everybody is a media expert.
You know, guys, I think that when the great journalism syllabus is published, which everybody has to follow, the first part of the press conference, I was going to say yesterday as we sit right now, but the famous press conference in which Trump decides he's going to chastise the press before he even begins.
And yeah.
Then during the press conference, he really gets on him and he says, no, you don't get it. I'm not giving you a question because basically you were mean.
He says to CNN.
Yes. Right.
So you think that that is a hallmark of the shape of things to come?
Without question, Rex. Hmm. Without question. I think what's happened now is that he has really learned that during the campaign, one of the things that worked for him was scapegoating the press. And I think he's going to continue to scapegoat the press. You know, it's interesting because Ira was telling me before that he saw Anderson Cooper and Kellyanne Conway in an interview on CNN. So at one point they say, no, you don't get a question. On the other hand, they're only too happy to go where they are. But the interesting, and I hope that Ira will tell us the story of Bob Woodward.
Well, no, it's Bernstein. But I will say that to Rex's point and Alan's point, Trump did not hurt himself at this press conference in terms of his supporters who love to beat up on the press and hate the press as much as he ostensibly hates the press. Question is, the 54% of the country that didn't vote for Trump and is inclined not to like what Trump is doing, but perhaps also has not been as vociferously in favor of the press as the three of us might be, is there going to be that 54%? Is that number going to grow? And is the pro-press contingent going to start making some noise, a la, for example, Meryl Streep at the Golden Globes, where she was talking about how important for there to be a responsible free press?
I don't know that that positive message has the resilience that the negative message does.
I agree. And the question is, if we are going to see 4 years of press conferences such as the one we saw this week, it's perhaps going to
works for him
up
so far, because yeah, you see, there are so many important issues. A man who has not had a press conference in 180 days, I believe it was, in which time he's become the president-elect, finally comes before the press at a time when all of his nominees are up for consideration by the Senate, when there are significant questions about the repeal of the Affordable Care Act and other issues confronting the country, and he turns it into a forum on the press performance. And this is doing no service to the American public. But people don't understand this at all.
Although, but he didn't, he had, in fact, I don't want to give the guy more credit than he deserves, but he had scheduled this press conference for the Wednesday of this past week. And unbeknownst to him, the story about the Russians and the alleged compromising matters they might have on him, which he did not know was coming on the pike the night before, came down the pike the night before and thus took over the agenda of the press conference.
Okay, that's reasonable, yeah.
Right, when ostensibly the press conference was supposed to be about his business dealings and perhaps the health care,
which he had put off for a long time before that anyway.
And he's still putting off, Rexy. I mean, let's face it, we still don't have those tax returns.
Correct. And now, let's talk about that issue of the bombshell, of course, because that really is the issue on the table for the press. This question of BuzzFeed being the primary media outlet that published the actual document.
And will you remind everybody, Rex, what BuzzFeed is?
Well, BuzzFeed is a now quite potent digital pure play, as they say. It's a news website that gained a lot of viewers initially with videos of animals, for example. But it has an investigations team. It is covering everything. The editor-in-chief, Ben Smith, is a guy who used to be a New York State media columnist for the New York Daily News, son, by the way, of a retired New York State Court of Appeals judge, Robert Smith. Ben Smith has led BuzzFeed into some very significant reporting, but they stood out from the other media with a stance that Ben Smith explained to readers why they're doing it. He said that he believes that giving readers access to this dossier, two pages of information about the unsubstantiated allegations involving Donald Trump that were included in the intelligence report, why it is that he thought readers should have that. Now, bear in mind that many, many media organizations also had this document, have had it for weeks and months, and have been trying to verify aspects of it, and they have been unable to do so. And nobody else published it. BuzzFeed did publish it. And there are varying thoughts as to whether it was the right idea or not.
Well, they're getting a lot of criticism for having done it. And yet, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. There's always going to be something. And then there's always what leads to the substantiation, Rex, if you will, about the character of a person be as accused in the BuzzFeed report. I mean, after all, let's face it, we have Donald Trump on tape saying that he grabs women, and I'm not going to use the word, but by the genitals. This is now quite famous. And so is it surprising to a lot of people that he might have gone to Moscow and been with prostitutes? Well, you know, Ira does, and you know that you don't put anything in your paper unless you have a substantiation. You got to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. But you love to allude to it once it's out there.
The broader question, or maybe it's the more narrow question, is all of the major news outlets published the existence of the report after CNN, which I believe was first to actually report the entire sequence of events up to and including the fact that there was this two-page addendum that alleged these nefarious things. But none of them, except BuzzFeed, and I don't know that there were any others, chose to print the exact details of what was in the report. And I think that is an important distinction because it was enough to say, I think, that the report existed and there were a lot of allegations that were nasty, but none of those allegations were substantiated.
Well, Ira.
And thus it should not have been, in my view, printed. There was no reason other than for purient interest for BuzzFeed to have printed the details.
Well, but Ira, I have a question for you. As you know, this had to do with something golden and all the rest of it and urination on a bed. And
but you, by your saying it, you're saying
I'm not done.
I know, but you're alluding to it specifically.
No, but I'm not done. I'm asking you, how is it that everybody in America knows about this if, as you say, people weren't publishing the details?
Because once BuzzFeed released it and then you have something called the internet, all bets are off.
You think it's only the internet? Yeah, you don't think it's any of the other press?
I can't say that I saw every newspaper in the country, but I'm not certain that any of them used those words to be that specific about what the issue was.
Well, I think that's correct.
I see Rex standing over there in the corner.
Well, no, I'm just trying to make the point that there is a dispute among journalism ethicists as to whether this is the right idea or not. Columbia Journalism Review says, good for BuzzFeed. The ethics expert that I put most stock in, Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute, says, bad idea. So I think you could make the call either way.
What was Columbia's backup?
That's actually what I'm looking for on my device here as we're sitting here. The notion is, though, that people in the 21st century ought to have access to the information. It's basically the call that BuzzFeed made, that we in the media shouldn't be in, as Alan sometimes says, the highly vaunted role, he thinks that we're pompous about this, of making these judgments.
I do think you're pompous.
That we should let people make their own decision. My concern about that call is, on what basis do we give information to people and say, well, are you going to use your independent intelligence operation reader of the Times Union to make this judgment? No, I don't think so. I think we have to do our best bet that we can to try to verify information. And if we cannot, we don't publish it. That's the role of journalism, not just passing along unverified information. It's always been that way. Passing along unverified information is exactly what we have complained about Mr. Trump for doing. You know, here he has Kellyanne Conway criticizing Anderson Cooper and CNN for passing along unverified facts when her principal, Mr. Trump, for years supported a lie by saying that President Obama was perhaps not a citizen of the United States, passed along the lie that people in New Jersey were cheering the falling of the World Trade Towers, absent any confirmation of that anywhere by anybody. And so we have to see that this hypocrisy is what it is. And I think ultimately, I come down against BuzzFeed and say, I don't think they did the right thing.
And as Ira has pointed out, Kellyanne Conway is telling everybody that there should be no more leaks. But in fact, she's the biggest leaker
right.
of
that,
all.
That was the Bernstein comment. Yeah. Bernstein was part of the four-man team on CNN to write their story. And she was on with Anderson Cooper on the night of the press conference.
That was the setup I gave you before.
Yes, and she was complaining about unnamed sources in the CNN story. And after the interview was over, Bernstein could barely control himself and finally says, you want to know who's an unknown source? Kellyanne Conway has been an unknown source for the last 10 months, not specifically in this story, but throughout the campaign. So how could she be, and again, hypocrisy, she's going to complain about unnamed sources when she apparently has been a chief unknown source. He was also called by Bernstein the Minister of Propaganda, which I thought was a good way to put it.
But, you know, I'm fascinated. The New York Times is uncompromising in their integrity about the way they've been reporting this. Boy, they have a lot of guts. I really think they do. And if you take a look at their headlines, there's a negative aspersion in today's paper as we speak, which is a Thursday. There is a negative aspersion in almost every single one of their headlines. Trump gets furious about it. And he gets furious at CNN. But all of a sudden, she shows up at CNN and she's on with them. Then you read, even as he's venting at them, you read that he's called the New York Times and is being quoted in the New York Times in a conversation with a reporter. So they don't seem to care that they're yelling on one hand and participating on another.
Well, yes. And the fact of the matter is Kellyanne Conway is a master at this notion of spreading misinformation with a great smile on her face and making it seem like it's absolutely true. And I don't know, Alan, when you say that all the headlines have cast negative aspersions, you know, I think that when reporting the facts might be less than complimentary for the president-elect, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, you know. You know, one of the defenses that you could make, I guess, about BuzzFeed publishing the material here is this, and it comes from history. We remember in the impeachment saga of Bill Clinton, that first day that Drudge Report, remember the Drudge Report, first published that there was a blue dress. And the blue dress notion just seemed outrageous to think that there would be this article of clothing that had been saved by this young woman that allegedly had the president's semen on it. How preposterous that seemed. Turned out to be true.
Absolutely.
But it was one of the breaks that Drudge got that they have not matched that record in the years since. But sometimes you publish something and ask readers, in effect, what of this can you confirm? It is an investigative reporting technique to put material out there and say, what else do you know? What can you bring forward for us?
But Rex, let me read you, since you've called into question my judgment, let me read you.
On occasion.
Let me read you some of the headlines from the New York Times on this Thursday and let people decide, okay? Here's one. Trump voters in Iowa are unfazed by controversies.
True, okay. Right? That's
well,
a true story?
Well, it is true, but we know the slant. And I,
what do you mean we know the slant?
What's the slant?
What's the slant?
Well, the slant is that they are there, that they are trying to figure out what it is that's happened. But the choice of words, unfazed. Now, unfazed is a word filled with values, meaning they should be phased, but they're unfazed.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
No, that is,
no.
That's eisegesis, not exegesis.
No,
you're redefining
okay,
the word.
Okay, here's another one. Donald Trump and the state of conflict. These are all headlines in the same paper.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Trump's news conference started with a war with and within the media. In other words, what you pick out, the nugget of the various flotsam and jetsam that you pick out and make into headlines, gives you an impression. Now, am I unhappy with these headlines? No. But am I telling you that the Times has guts, that they did what they could, but that they have a negative slant?
Well, no, I don't think they do at all. I don't think that's a negative slant.
I'm not done yet. Ethics chief criticizes Trump's plan for business trust.
That's true.
That is true. And on and on and on. Okay.
Yeah, I think you make the point that the Times is performing its role of reporting what's going on. And I don't think there's anything negative about that at all. I think it's just factual reporting. Yes, what a journalist does is you try to pick out the kernel that is most important for readers.
That you think is most important for readers.
Well, who else is going to do it?
But wait, in other words...
You're a reporter. What are you supposed to do? Let's just roll the tape and let
now
people...
Now, you know I didn't say that.
Let's just not do journalism. Then why do we bother to have programs?
You know...
Why do we have this show, then? Why do we bother to listen to you?
Let's make it an hour.
Ira, one of these days is going to get up and walk out. But let's just say the Secretary of Defense nominee or the Secretary of State, Tillerson, comes on and talks for 2 hours. And he says, well, you know, I do think that the Russians are, or I do think this is. And then somebody has to pick out the one or two things that are most damaging to Tillerson. Don't you see, Rex?
No, I don't say that they pick out the 200 things that are most damaging, the one or two things that are perhaps most interesting or most controversial.
To them?
No, based upon their independent judgment as a journalist trained to do the right thing. There are also, by the way, it's not just an individual. That's why the journalism practice involves editors reading stories, copy editors, other organizations looking on at the same time. You know, it's not just one person saying, here's what I think. There are practices built into our field.
But Rex, isn't this exactly the kind of ultimate defensiveness that you're showing, right?
Well,
wait, I'm not done. Isn't that exactly why the American people hate the press?
Well, it may well be because people are taking pot shots unfairly the way you are just now.
I'm not taking any pot shots.
You are indeed.
No, I am not. I'm making the argument to try to have an interesting program here about what's going on.
All right, let's play a game. Major topics at the press conference. One was the Russian issue. One was his business ethics issue. Any one of those, I would argue, could have been the lead story out of that press conference. The point is, somebody has to choose one of those as the lead of their story. It doesn't mean that the other two were not important. It just means that the reporter who is making the judgment to write his or her story has decided that this is the most important one as opposed to the other. His neighbor right in the next seat may have chosen a different subject to be
right,
the
that's
one.
All true.
Could happen. Typically, though, it doesn't unless you, that is, if you have mainstream general interest press, usually reporters figure out what is the most important kernel.
Right. Rex, have you ever heard of the term herding? And you and I were saying, well, somebody
herding
can take some, but they get together. Where's the headline?
That happens. You know,
that can happen.
My mom did a master's thesis on the Rorschach test. Now, you're going to give me that look and say, who cares? But I'm telling you, I remember sitting on her lap, and she said, as a little kid, what do you think this ink blot is? And I said, I think it's a bat. And she said, are you sure you don't see a butterfly? Now, here's the point. Each person has a character, and that character goes to what they're going to find. Do they hate Trump? If they hate Trump, it's going to be negative. I'm sorry. I happen to love what the New York Times is doing, but I think it's undeniable that the press, by choosing words, by choosing headlines, makes a point.
Well, you may think that it's undeniable, but I deny that there is an intent to defame. I do not think that's at all the case.
Did I say defame?
Well, I don't know what you're saying, because you're kind of all over the map on it.
Not at all.
By the way, did you hear what John Dingell said? John Dingell was the longtime Democratic congressman from Michigan. His wife, Debbie, is now the congressman from that district. When Rex Tillerson was nominated to be Secretary of State, did you see what he tweeted?
No.
He said, this just underscores what I've always said, that you can't trust anybody named Rex who's not a golden retriever.
Would you say Rex?
Can you believe the man said that? John Dingell, honest to God. And I tweeted back, what about Rex Morgan, MD? I hear he's in line to become Surgeon General.
To which everybody tweeted back and said, who?
Anyway, oh, that was pretty funny. Never mind, my line got stepped on. Anyway, it's all right. We'll just go along here. But there is undeniably an effort that a journalist has to put in to make a judgment about what's important and what's not. And the point that Alan is trying to make, I believe, is that there is bias on the part of the New York Times intending to select those points to be negative to Donald Trump. Is that your correct assumption?
No, you're saying there's bias. I'm not saying bias. I am saying that people, human beings, you, Rex, you, Ira, have to make choices. And those choices are based on your character. I don't think it goes to, I'm doing this because I want to get the guy, although it might. I think it has to do with who you are.
No. So the choice is based on your experience level and your understanding of what is important and interesting to your readers. And sometimes it's a very clear-cut decision. Sometimes there are several things that you can select and you choose one over the others. There is no right or wrong, generally speaking, but the motivation is not what you're suggesting. The motivation, in my view, is to be a professional and to follow your experience and your training to select what you believe is the correct
item. And how about the criteria? I mean, what are the criteria for doing this? The guy at CNN might say, I want to really kill MSNBC and everybody else. And if I put this thing about the prostitutes urinating on the bed on the air, what that will do is get me more clicks. And by the way, that's exactly the term that Trump used, get more clicks. Is that not true?
Listen, what Rex described as what Columbia Journalism said about this thing is basically what Smith himself said in an interview with Chuck Todd, which was the kind of journalism that everybody else practiced regarding BuzzFeed was the old journalism. And in the new journalism, we're going to put it all out there and let the readers decide for themselves. And so it could well have been because of more clicks, but ostensibly he had a higher principle in mind than that. Listen, we all are in the business of selling newspapers or gathering listeners or getting clicks. And if we don't do any or all of those three, we ain't going to be in business any longer. So I never apologize when people said you're only trying to sell newspapers. I would always say, damn right we're trying to sell newspapers or else we're not going to be here tomorrow. It's the question is how you're going to do it and are you going to do it responsibly? And some, I would argue, most do it responsibly. Some don't.
Here is an offer from a reader, a listener, that's what we call them here, and you all can offer your thoughts at media@wamc.org, media@wamc.org. Claire in Glen Spy, New York. It is pronounced Glen Spy, not Glen Spy.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's kind of like the scotch. It says, the story released was, as far as I saw, responsibly reported. That is, news sources identified clearly that there was strong evidence the Russian operatives claimed to have dirt with which to blackmail Trump. There can be no doubt that the media has a responsibility to report that a foreign nation claims to have compromised our president-elect. That is a separate issue of releasing the salacious and unverified details of the dirt. It seems to me the responsible people can differ as to whether that should have been released as long as it is made clear that it's unverified. The news sources did make that clear. And then here's the part that I like that Claire in Glen Spy has written. Now more than ever, we need a free press. We must support the reasonable decisions of the press, even where reasonable people may disagree. And Trump's egregious dismissal of CNN's Jim Acosta is precisely the actions an authoritarian uses to put down a free press. We must not stand for it. Thank you, Claire.
By the way, one of the points that Kellyanne Conway tried to make was that although she acknowledged finally that CNN did not report the salacious material, she claimed that when they put up their report, that opened the door for BuzzFeed to. And Anderson Cooper correctly said, that ain't our fault. We wrote a story that was correct and we reported it. We can't be held accountable for what everybody else does after that. And this reader believes it seems that it was okay to publish these salacious parts. I just simply disagree.
Well, now, make no mistake about it. The First Amendment is under attack. It's going to be under attack. And we know that.
A point made actually by Alan, you're from your alma mater, Hunter College, a professor of political science, writes to say, unless we decide to accept a soft dictatorial oligarchy of crony capitalists, the media better step up its game and call spades spades. After all, that is its job. A cowardly press is what we expect of the Russian and Chinese media establishments. These are all readers writing in response to Rosemary's comments last week about the word lie. And basically, our readers are making the point that it's the right thing. Here we've got Norman saying, Rosemary, when someone lies, he's intentionally telling an untruth. Why do you think he should not be called out about it? The problem with the word lie is that liar is pejorative and sounds judgmental. It's used as a taunt in schoolyards everywhere. So I agree with Rosemary that media using it is apt to be counterproductive. So it goes back and forth.
I had a guy call up the other day on the Vox Pop program that we do here, told a whole bunch of mistruths and lies, and I said, stop lying. Well, I got terrible criticism for saying stop lying.
Well,
that's the way it is.
Call a spade a spade. Hey, we're out of time suddenly. I don't know how this happened.
Amazing.
Wow, we had a good time, didn't we?
It was fine. It was
still in the room.
Worthwhile. Here we are. We're not. Now we're going to walk out. Yeah. Now watch the fight begin. Only kidding, folks. Hope you enjoyed the program. Hope you'll come back next week once again for the publisher, the professor, and the editor on the Media Project.
Every time you say only kidding, you know that you're lying.
Acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.